We're very pleased to continue our study in the book of 1 Samuel at this time. We're still in the 7th chapter. We're in the midst of this chapter, ready to begin at the 7th verse. We just had the occasion where the people of God, who have strayed away from God, they've gone into idolatry, they have lost respect for the ark of God, and the general religion of the land seems to be in a very great state of decay. These people have come together at a place called Mizpah under the guidance of Samuel, and they have repented of their sins. They have given up their idols, the idols of Balaam and Ashtaroth, the he-gods and she-gods. They have poured out this water of repentance, and they have fasted and made the confession that they have sinned before the Lord. And at that time, Samuel also judged them. And so we have this great turn now, this great lamentation of Israel for their sins and the getting back into the right way in the sight of God. Well, while they're gathered there at Mizpah, this stirs up the Philistines in verse 7. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. So the Philistines no doubt interpreted this assembly as being a threat to them. They thought that the children of Israel may be planning to attack. And so because of this, they went up against the children of Israel. They then attacked Israel. And of course, Israel wasn't planning to do this. This was not the purpose of the meeting at all. And this struck great fear into the hearts of the children of Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. This assembling was not a war council. It was not an assembling of the army or a group of soldiers necessarily. And so they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, "Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines." So now they look to Samuel to continue to guide them and to pray to God for them. They made a very strong, heavy reliance upon prayer at this time. And so they asked Samuel to cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us. Keep on praying for us, Samuel. We are in a state of fear. And of course, what actually has happened here is the people have just now really corrected their lives. They have repented. They've gotten back into the good graces of God. And consequently, now God's going to be for them. God's going to work for them. He's going to fight for them. But even though they are trying to improve themselves in the sight of God, we see here where the forces of evil never do let up. They continue to bring about fear and terror and try to destroy. And so it is with us today. At the very time that we're trying to get close to God, at the very time that we're realizing we're in a state of sin and need to repent, and we're amenable to that decision, we want to repent, we're going through the very motions of it, even at that very instant, the forces of evil are working whatever method they can to strike terror, to strike fear into us, to bring us into a state of subjection to those fears, to remove us from the presence of God, to bring some kind of a rift between us and God, and that's what is happening here. So they're afraid of these Philistines, but rather than use the instincts of man, they tell Samuel, keep praying for us. Keep praying on to the Lord our God. Do not cease to cry to this Lord, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. So they were relying very strongly now upon the hand of God through prayer to bring them a deliverance. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering wholly unto the Lord. So we see here where Samuel now does not only pray, but he also offers a burnt offering to God. Now this burnt offering is not a peace offering or a sin offering or a trespass offering. This is an offering for the glory of God. It's a burnt offering wholly unto the Lord, simply to give glory to God. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. Now, we have here prayer coupled with a sacrifice. And this made the sacrifice a lot more effective for there to be the prayer with it. and it also made the prayer a lot more effective for there to be the sacrifice with it. We today, when we have the faith in God and we cry to Him in prayer, we're coupling our prayer with the sacrifice of Christ. By our faith in our Savior and His sacrifice, then we too are offering prayer with sacrifice. And we see that then the prayer is more effective, and also it makes the sacrifice more applicable to us by our having the prayer. So Samuel is ministering to this people. He's officiating in a religious service. He's continuing to pray to God. He's not a man with a strong arm like Samson. He's not a man with a strong sword like Gideon, but he is a man that has a very strong interest in heaven. He is a man that's very close to God. He's a man that's been trained and schooled from his youth up to be reverent and holy, and to depend upon God and have a close communication with God. And consequently, he uses these abilities, this special position that he has, he uses this then for the benefit of the people as the Philistines are now bringing on the attack against them. Now, this offering up of the lamb by Samuel seems to indicate also that Samuel was not only a judge, but that he was a priest too. And here he is functioning in that capacity. Verse 10, and as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. So while Samuel was in the very process of offering this lamb to God, which could be symbolic of the offering of our Savior as a lamb to God, the Philistines drew near to battle. They didn't waste any time. They were going to act decisively and swiftly and gain another victory here in their minds. And so Samuel is still in the process of offering the lamb as they draw near to battle. This did not deter Samuel from his duty, from his work as a servant to God. Samuel didn't say, well, I'll have to offer this lamb sometime later. I got something more important to do now that the Philistines are bearing down upon us. No, he continued to do the thing that he knew was the right thing to do. He continued to offer the sacrifice. Now, he stated quite clearly in the ninth verse that as Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. So this was a prayer that was heard. God now, because of the repentance of the people, because the people had now gotten rid of their sins, they had ceased to serve these idols, they were now getting back into the good graces of God. God heard the prayer of Samuel, and this means that God is going to act upon that. And so as the Philistines drew near to battle against the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. So this was a storm, a thunderstorm that came upon them. It was of such great nature that it discomfited the Philistines. That is, it threw them into a state of disarray and confusion. They were no longer able to function as a well-disciplined army. And because of this intervention of the Lord, they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethcar. So they were now given a lot more courage, a lot more zeal over this intervention by the Lord in their behalf. So they pursued after the Philistines. And they made it a very great victory for themselves. They smote the Philistines until they came under Bethcar. Now, about all that I can find about Bethcar is that it's a place west of Mizpah, the point to which they pursued these Philistines, and they gained a victory. Verse 12, then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Now, Samuel set a stone up here at this particular place that he named Ebenezer, and this means a stone for help. So this is a memorial to show that here is the place where the Philistines were defeated. Now, we'd like to note that this is also the very same place where 20 years before, the Philistines had gained a great victory over the Israelites. They had captured the Ark of God, and this is where the great decline of the children of Israel began. They lost the ark. They lost their priest. Eli died. And they lost hundreds of thousands of men on this occasion. And although the historian who wrote the book of 1 Samuel called it Ebenezer at that time, it really didn't get its name of Ebenezer until now, when Samuel places this stone memorial here to show that this is the place where Israel has again gained the victory over the Philistines. So, in the first place, by turning themselves away from God, by allowing idolatry to enter into their lives, they'd lost a very great battle at this point. Now, in the second place, by returning again to God, by depending upon prayer and sacrifice, by having themselves made right with God, now they gained a great victory at this very same place. So we see that the great difference here in the two battles is the fact that now Israel is in a harmony with God, whereas before they had turned themselves against God. And the lesson for us is, if we will stay faithful to God, then whenever we're faced with our enemies, when we're faced with the thing that seems to be an indefeatable foe come up against us, we can have our Ebenezer, we can have a stone for help, just as these Israelites did on this occasion. Verse 13, so the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel. Now this is a very great benefit here. The Philistines, that mortal enemy of Israel, they were subdued at this time. They stopped being a threat. They didn't attack Israel anymore during this time. It seems during the rest of the reign of Samuel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. So this was a tremendous benefit to have this great foe that was a day-in, day-out threat to them, to have it now to be subdued, this great nation of the Philistines, so that they came no more against Israel. Verse 14, and the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Ekron even to Gath. Now there are some Bible scholars who think that this means that even the cities of Ekron and Gath were restored. Others seem to think that this doesn't mean that these cities themselves were restored, but the smaller cities in between were restored. And we do not know for sure, but we do know that at a later time, the Philistines did regain control of these two cities. So, regardless, they were only going to be temporarily restored to Israel at this time. And all the coast thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines. So, everything that the Philistines had taken away from them that should have been a part of Israel's possession, they delivered it out of the hands of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. Now these Amorites are the original Canaanites. They're the natives who had been living here all along. They're the ones that Israel should have run out of the land way back when they first moved into the land, but they didn't. They left a remnant of them there, and they've always been a thorn in the side of the Israelites. But even they, another perpetual enemy of the children of God, even they were at peace with Israel at this time. Now we read in Proverbs 16 verse 7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And we have to feel that that's what has happened here. The people's ways are now pleasing to God, and consequently, his enemies are at peace, the Philistines and the Amorites. So we see that Samuel was such an influential leader. He was such a person with a close connection to God that he influenced this nation during this time to be especially faithful to God. And it certainly did pay off for them. They're now at a state of peace. And certainly this is a tremendous lesson for us. We need to stay close to God. We need to stay close to the things of God. We need to remain faithful to God. And it pays off for us also. And one of the things that it pays off for us in is this thing known as peace. We can have peace with our God. We can have peace with ourselves. And we can have peace with our neighbor or anyone with whom we have to do. And this is so very important, because when man is not in a state of peace, when man is in a state of war, He is in a very unsettling condition. He is in a condition that strikes at the very heart of his well-being. And so peace is so necessary for us. And the way we have it is to be at peace with God. That is, do the things that God would have us to do, live in such a way that would cause God to be well pleased with us. So here we have a nation now that is living according to the will of God. And it's so very, very important for the total well-being of the nation. Samuel was certainly a good judge. He was a good leader. And we read over in 2 Chronicles 35, verse 18, "And there was no Passover like to that kept in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet." So these people were so devoted, so very close to God now, that they kept the Passover in such a devout and special way that there was no Passover kept like during the days of Samuel the prophet. Verse 15, "And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life." So Samuel continued for the remainder of his life to be a judge over Israel. Even when Saul was anointed to be king, Samuel continued to exercise this position of being a judge. Now in this seventh chapter we're having the most given about the judgeship of Samuel during the very prime of his life. So this chapter is really the history of Samuel's reign as judge during the prime time of his life. He judged Israel all the days of his life. So he used his life, all of it, in this office of being a judge to Israel. And you know, he went to the tabernacle when he was first weaned. So he'd been in the service of God all of his life, actually. He was pledged by his mother before he was even born that she would give him to the Lord for the service of the Lord. Verse 16, "And he went from year to year in circuit to Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpah and judged Israel in all those places." Now these three cities are all located in the tribe of Benjamin. But nevertheless, he made the circuit to these three places to exercise his office of being a judge. Bethel would probably serve those tribes to the north the best. They would have the best access to come to see Samuel at that place. Gilgal would be over on the eastern border, close to the Jordan River, and so the tribes on the other side of Jordan, Reuben, Gad, and half Manasseh, could come to Gilgal more conveniently, and Mizpah then would be more to the south and would have the tribes of Judah, Dan, and Simeon to be able to reach him there. So he was active. He moved about. He made himself accessible to the people, and he did carry out this very important office of judge. Now, we know that whenever the people were living in whichever man did what seemed to be right in his own eyes, they didn't have any central head, no king, no judge, that then the nation deteriorated very rapidly. This is when the idolatry would move in very fast and take a strong hold, and the nation just seemed to be gone in the throes of idolatry. But now we have a strong judge here, a man who has been raised to serve God all of his life, and he is certainly serving in that capacity, and it's paying off very well for the benefit of this nation. And this gives us some insight even today as to how important it is for us to remain within the confines of the statutes, of the laws, of the judgments of God. We, of course, today have our Bibles. We have the written Word of God to serve as a judge, as a measurement by which we can take and apply to our lives and determine if we're doing the right thing or not. And it's so important for us to keep a constant touch with what is right and what is wrong, to continue to be reminding ourselves and learning and studying and applying these great principles of God so that we're able to have this thing known as prudence. We can determine what's right and what's wrong, and we know that we have the truth because we learn that it's what God would have us to do. And so this is the great benefit of Samuel's life to this nation. He's the judge, he makes himself accessible, and he keeps the people in line then with what God would have them to do. So when somebody is wrong, Samuel can make the decision. This is right, this is wrong. This should be done, this should not be done. And then the people know exactly where they stand in the eyes of God. Verse 17, and his return was to Ramah, for there was his house, and there he judged Israel. So Ramah was the house of his father. This is where he was born. This is where he lived his very early years until he was weaned. And so this was his home now. Ramah is also thought to be in the tribe of Benjamin. It was no more than 10 miles or so from Shiloh. And some say that it's as close as 6 miles to Jerusalem. So he was in a very central place here, being in this town of Ramah. But this was his hometown, the town of his father. There was his house, and there he judged Israel. He had a perpetual seat of judgment there at his hometown in Ramah. And there he built an altar unto the Lord. So we see that here he kept up the service to God in a religious way. He had an altar built to the Lord. Things are not really in a normal state in Israel at this time because the tabernacle, wherever it is, does not have the Ark of the Covenant in it, and the full function of the Ark and the tabernacle do not seem to be in full sway at this time. So there's an altar built by Samuel at Ramah, and we know that he is functioning then by offering upon this altar the things that God would have to be done at this time. So we see here the story about one of the great prophets and great judges of all time, the man Samuel. And the nation responded well to it. They received great benefits as a result of it. And consequently then, this is a good example for us today. Whatever may come our way, let us stay close to God. We're going to close at that point, and we're also concluding this 7th chapter of 1 Samuel. Next time we'll begin with the 8th chapter. Till next time, this is NC Crouch saying, goodbye, friends.